On that evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy Easter, everyone. For indeed, it is still Easter. You know, in the church, we celebrate Easter for 50 days. Somehow, though, we see in most of our world that 40 days of Lent. We pay more attention to that. Easter often becomes, for so many, just that one day. But it goes on and on. And why is it that important? Because the resurrection is the single most important event in all of human history. For that event has changed our world and continues to change our world and hopefully changes us. But every year on the Sunday after Easter, we hear one of the world's most famous stories of doubt, the story of Thomas, who demands absolute proof or he will not believe. I think we live in an age when we're surrounded by Thomases, and not just doubters, but actual unbelievers. Atheists, agnostics, secularists, and there are those now that we refer to as the nuns. The nuns are now the largest group in the United States, with over 63% of those responding to the latest Pew Research survey who claim no faith at all and no connection to any faith community. I heard a story once about a man named Patrick Green. Mr. Green was an avowed atheist that lived in Texas. And he complained often bitterly about the hostility that he experienced from some of his neighbors who claimed they were Christians. And a few years ago, he made the local papers down there when he joined the fight against the nativity scene that had been set up outside the local courthouse in the town. Mr. Green was angry that such an open display of religion was allowed on public property, and he threatened to have a lawsuit filed to get it dismantled and removed. But sometime after making that threat, Mr. Green began to have trouble with his eyesight. And his doctors found that he was suffering from a variety of problems, including cataracts, glaucoma, and most importantly, a detached retina. It seems that Mr. Green made his living as a cab driver and, of course, soon had to give that up. In a legal battle began to sap his time and money, he finally decided that he could no longer go forward with the lawsuit. So he withdrew his threats, went back into his home, and waited for darkness to overtake him. One of his neighbors, a young lady named Jessica, learned about Mr. Green's illness. She was quoted as saying, "Well, I knew about his lawsuits," she told a local paper. "I thought he may never have felt the love of God through others. So this is a great opportunity to turn the other cheek and to show God's love." So she asked her pastor if there was something they could do. And they started a fundraising drive, raising money so one of the most notorious atheists in town might have an operation that could possibly restore his sight. But Mr. Green refused the money, saying the surgery wasn't guaranteed to succeed. But I think more so, he did not want to accept help from these so-called Christians. Undeterred, though, they asked him if there's anything else he could do, and eventually he relented and said, "Well, now that I can no longer work, I could sure use some help with my everyday expenses." He was expecting, he said, just a couple checks, maybe $50, $100. But a few days later, the first check got delivered at $400. And as time went on, the checks, the support, and the prayers continued through the months. Mr. Green was overwhelmed. To his amazement, he found that his disbelief was being shaken. And just before Easter, he gave an interview that said the outpouring of love had changed him. "I realized," he explained, "that the questions I was asking you had to accept on faith without doubting every period or every comma." It said that he eventually joined a local church. Like Thomas in today's gospel, confronted with something he was so sure was impossible, he could only say, "My Lord and my God." Mr. Green's story reminds us all that the experience of God's love, a true encounter with Christ, doesn't depend on any type of physical evidence. It's something beyond what can be touched, what can be seen, or even heard. It's an offering poured out, and an offering that's available to every one of us, to everyone. It's so very real. It's what we so often and casually call love. The Apostle Thomas experienced that same love. And this is something to remember, that the Apostle Thomas very loudly, even angrily, expressed his doubt. But Christ didn't dismiss him. He didn't write him off. Christ forgave him. And he came back, stood in front of him, so he could believe. He gave Thomas another chance. But what he really gave him was the great gift of faith. And Thomas, shocked, overwhelmed, and awed, humbly accepted the gift our Lord was offering. Brothers and sisters, Christ does the same thing with every one of us. When we least expect it, he can break through the locked doors of our own human hearts. He searches within us for our fears, our uncertainties, our doubts. He understands our misgivings, our hurts, and our weaknesses. He knows only too well the human condition, for he walked among us himself. And as Thomas discovered, Christ has the wounds to show for it. And he wants to desperately give us all another opportunity. And that, too, is part of the message this particular Sunday. This is a time for seizing second chances. For this Sunday, we celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday, when we are asked to embrace the power and beauty of God's forgiveness. It is the Sunday in which we remind ourselves of God's tender mercy, a Sunday when we are challenged more than ever to let him break through the locked doors of our hearts. And it's a time for fulfilling the promise of the resurrection and the glorious hope of Easter. For Christ is risen. He has left the tomb. Unfortunately, so many in our world are locked within their own tomb. But we can step out of that tomb of selfishness and sin. We can feel the healing light of God's care, for we have a second chance available. God's mercy, divine mercy, assures it. The sacrament of reconciliation enables it, for we can all be made new. Even those who claim they're atheists, even those nuns who have little or no faith. The local Texas newspaper reported that in gratitude, Mr. Green purchased a star for the Christmas tree. It was part of that nativity that goes up every Christmas in that town. The very display he tried to outlaw. Given his eye condition, I'm not sure that we really know that he ever actually saw that star burning brightly. But I think he would agree he's seen something far more wondrous, because he now sees with the eyes of faith. My friends, as we gather around the table of the Lord today and prepare to receive him in the most holy Eucharist, let us invite Jesus into our own locked upper rooms. Let us pray as well that he will break through all the barriers, all the things we do that might keep him out of our lives. May we all be open to God's tender mercies. And most importantly, may we be like Jessica, Mr. Green's neighbor, who reached out in love to those who have doubt or have little faith. And may we say with Easter joy and with the wonder and conviction of St. Thomas, my Lord and my God.